I forgot to do that last week.
This morning, I remind you that Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You know, I believe that we're very familiar with the idea of spectator sports, or the idea of simply being able to sit and observe. We can easily turn on our TVs and we can watch a game and we can make all sort of comments and question various calls that are made by the refs or by the coach, and we can sit down and simply observe, and we can go on and say, you know, if I were in that situation, I would have done this. Or if I were the coach, I would have said, run this play. Or if I were the player, I would have been able to outrun so-and-so and been able to score or make the shot or do whatever it was to cause our team to win the game. But it's easy for us to say, it's another thing for us to do, is it not? It's easy for us to sit down and comment about the various things that take place. It's another thing to go and to do it. Well, James here in our text this morning in verses 22 through 25 is telling us the proper reaction to the Word of God. He actually is telling us the proper reaction in verses 22 through 27, but I thought it would be good to save 26 and 27 for another time. And so we want to focus then on verses 22 through 25. This idea of not simply listening and spectating, but doing. The idea here is the idea of obedience. James is stressing to us the importance that as believers we are called to obey. The Bible teaches us that obedience is the most basic spiritual requirement of the Christian and is the common denominator for all true believers. Jesus stressed this to us when he says in John 8 that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus stresses that if we abide in his word, and this abiding is demonstrated in fruitful living, then we are his disciples. And the transverse then is also true, that those who consistently disobey God's word, those who are not remaining in the word of God or abiding in his word but are disobeying that word, are giving the evidence that they are without his life within them. The point is that we are to prove ourselves to be doers of the word and not hearers only. If we are only a hearer of the word, then we are showing ourselves to be a false Christian, and therefore possibly even deceiving ourselves. A believer will manifest the proper application of the Word of God in his life. And so it's important for us to consider then the difference between a doer of the Word versus a hearer of the Word. And so that's simply the point that I want us to see this morning. The difference between those who hear the Word of God versus those who hear it and do it. Note with me first that we are called to hear. Remember, James told us earlier to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James in verse 22 is not contradicting himself by saying, well, now I'm not saying that you are not to hear, but you are to do, but he's saying, don't be a hearer only. It's important that we consider that we are to listen to the Word of God. We are to hear it, but we are not to simply only hear it so that it has no impact in our life. We are not called to simply sit back passively in an audience and simply listen to those things that are being preached or taught to us. We are to not simply be a spectator. The idea here of hearing is the term that is used of the word auditing. It has the idea of those who are required to attend a class and to listen to the things that are being taught but they have no responsibility in relation to those things that they are hearing. They have no accountability for what they are hearing. Those who would audit a class can go and listen, but they don't have to write papers or take a test. They don't have to do anything in order to get a grade. And so James here is not condemning hearing. He's condemning those who would simply come to audit the things that are taking place without producing any activity or fruit from those that they are hearing. You see, sadly enough, many in the church today are simply auditing the church. They come, they attend, they listen, they might even interact, they might discuss, but they have no desire to have the things that they hear make an impact in their life. Are you a church auditor? Or do you desire to obey? Before we move away from the topic of hearing, I do want to challenge you to the practice of listening. Do not simply walk away from here and think that you have no responsibility to listen or to hear. It's important that we do listen to the Word of God, for from it, it directs us how to live. The blessed man in Psalm 1 is blessed for involving himself in inward meditation, in reflecting and thinking about the Word of God. And so I challenge you this morning to make sure that you are hearing the Word of God. Meditate on that Word. Do things to put it to memory so that you can listen and obey. Seek to have your thoughts directed towards the Scriptures. Seek so that you might understand the Word of God. We are called to do such. The psalmist reminds us of his love for the Word of God and his meditation on that Word day and night. You young people even can hear and listen to the Word of God and ought to desire to do so. It ought to be your desire that because you are in a situation where you can hear it, that you would hear it so that you would understand, and that you would provide yourself and avail yourself of opportunities to listen to that Word. You adults ought to put yourself in the same position. Listen to the Word and take practical steps and measures so that you might hear it. Many of you have done so simply by making a commitment to this congregation, and that is good. Most of you have commented on the fact that you come here and attend here and involved here because here is where you are taught the Word of God. And that is something that you ought to be commended for. And it's because you desire to hear the Word. But I encourage you and challenge you to not simply just hear it, but also to act on it. You are called to act on the Word. You see, James is stressing here the importance of Christian practice. Many can talk a good game, especially in Reformed circles, can't we? We can go around and we can quote Calvin and we can talk about Luther and we can talk about justification by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. We can say the right things. We can subscribe to the three forms of unity and give various information about all the different things in relation to our standards. But are we guilty of simply knowing a lot, saying the right things, talking a good game, but doing as we please? You see, it's not simply enough to talk right and to have insight and to demonstrate that we have a good grasp in our knowledge of the things being presented in our church, but we must reflect in our living the way in which our thinking takes place. In other words, our hearing must give way to our activities. Jesus stressed this very point in his Sermon on the Mount. Remember, he went through this sermon and he starts out with the Beatitudes and he talks about those who are blessed and he goes on to challenge his audience concerning what you've heard it said of old, but I say to you. And he challenges them time and time and time again. But remember how he closes out his sermon. He says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine," And then he talks about the response and does them or does not do them. He says, whoever hears this and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You see, Jesus rightly understood that it wasn't simply enough for his audience to come and hear all these things that he told them, but he said, you must go out and you must do them. And James here is also stressing this. Be a doer of the word. Be an individual, a Christian, who has been blessed with sound biblical teaching and preaching, but see to it that it is having an impact or an effect in your life through the working of the Holy Spirit, so that you are demonstrating by God's grace the fruit of obedience in your life. The emphasis here is on the individual who is dedicated to learning the Word of God and living in faithful obedience. You see, there are those who are guilty of saying, I want to absorb, I want to soak in the Word of God, I want to learn, but do not want to live then in faithful obedience. They want to sit out back on the side and they want to condemn everyone else for not living rightly based on their own understanding. But they are simply being the spectator who's not getting in the game and putting into practice the things that they have been taught. The Scriptures stress to us that the Christian will learn the Word of God. He's dedicated to that end, but also live then in faithful obedience. Think about what John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, when he says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Interesting to note that John here does not mention anything in relation to the person's hearing or his listening. The assumption could be made is that an individual can profess to be a child of God, can listen and absorb, and yet John says, if you are involved in that and yet not practicing righteousness, putting into application the things that you've heard, you're not of God. The contrast is not based on what one claims to have experienced or claims to have heard, but how they live. And this living according to the Word of God. Are you thinking about your own life right now? Are you thinking about the blessings that God has given you in relation to the listening, to the hearing, to the teaching, to the preaching that you have absorbed this day? How is that being reflected in your living? Because you are called to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Think about the declaration that Paul makes in Romans 8. Paul lays out that great gift of salvation to us in verses 1 and following when he reminds us that God has done a wonderful work through Jesus Christ, but he says these individuals do walk according to the Spirit. He reminds us of that in verse 1 and verse 4 when he says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Paul is very concerned about stressing living in this text. And he's reminding us that we are called to live according to the manner of the Spirit. He goes on to make this challenge that if there are those who are carnally minded, they are involved in death, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God because it's not subject to the law of God, and therefore then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, the challenge here in relation to James chapter 1, verse 22 and following, is that if James is stressing to us that we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, Paul is arguing for the same point when he says that those who are believers are subject
to a life or walk according to the Spirit. A walk, an activity, a doing, a living, an obedience. Paul doesn't say that there is those who have no condemnation in Jesus Christ who do not hear according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, who listen all the time to the Word of God and absorb and soak, but he says these individuals walk. They act. They live. They do. The believer is called to live. John reminds us in 1 John chapter 2, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. By this, he says, we know Him not if we simply go to church and listen to His Word being laid out before us and having it have no impact in us, but he says just the opposite. He says the one who knows Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. You see, what I'm stressing to you this morning is the fact that a person who has been regenerated will manifest a desire to live according to God's Word. Do you have that desire existing in you? Can you sit here honestly with me this morning and say to me, you know what, overall my desire is to live consistently according to the Word of God? Or if you're honest, would you confess, no, I'm just playing a game, I'm just here to pass the time, I'm just here for whatever reason it might be other than to listen to the Word of God and have it applied to my life? You must then examine whether or not God has truly worked in you. Whether He's truly opened your eyes and caused you to embrace the gospel. So that you would not be one who is simply deceiving yourself. This idea of deception here is rather strong. The idea here of deception is the idea of incorrectly reasoning out a point. And the idea is deliberate. It's a deliberate false reasoning with the purpose of deceiving. One of the ways that this term is used is the idea of miscalculating with intent. In other words, we would call this cooking the books. The individual, the accountant who comes along and he changes the numbers in order to deceive everyone else around him to make it look better than it really is. And then next thing you know, the president or the board finds out that things aren't as good as they seemed. Because the accountant was deceiving them concerning where they really stood. And James here is saying, do not allow yourself to pursue this deliberate path of miscalculation and cheating out yourself by sitting here and playing a game and saying that I will simply be a hearer only and deceive myself and those around me. The Bible is clear that the conduct of the disciple of Jesus Christ is found in their fruit. The character of a person is evidenced by their fruit. This is a reliable test that demonstrates the true nature of a person outwardly. So what's taking place in your doing? How are you acting? How are you behaving? What is the fruit that is being produced in your life here and now by God's Spirit so that you can look outwardly to see how your life is manifested in the life of a Christian? Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Either a tree is good and its fruit is good, or else the tree is bad and its fruit is bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Jesus goes on to remind us that it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, and implied in this is your actions as well, You will be justified or you will be condemned. Because as Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You see, we confess this in Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 114 and 115. When we note in the following question, can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of such obedience, yet so that with earnest purpose they began to live not only according to some, but according to all the commandments of God. You see, the point or the stress here is that although we are still imperfect in our practice, yet nonetheless, there will be some beginning of obedience to all the commandments of God. They will be manifested in our life by the time that we come to the point of glorification, obedience to loving God perfectly and loving our neighbor as ourselves. It might be a small beginning. It might only be a sapling. It might be some small piece of fruit on that tree, but nonetheless that fruit will be there. If that is not being evidenced in your life, now you need to begin to examine and question and wonder, are you simply being a hearer of the word, or are you a true doer? The reason why the commandments of God are so laid upon us and so set upon us, the point of this doing is found in question and answer 115. So that we may learn more and more to know our own sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ, and that furthermore we might diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit to be renewed more and more after His image. You see, the one who only hears walks around proud and puffed up as to how he's able to play the game. The hearer only isn't concerned to know about his sinful nature and seek forgiveness of sins. He's simply content to say, I've heard that, I know it, and so be it. That's the example that James gives us in verse 23 and following. The one who observes his face in a mirror, observing himself, going away and immediately forgetting what he has seen. You see, the mirror here is the Word of God. Even as He reminds us, the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. You see, the individual here is hearing teaching. Teaching from the Word of God. He's hearing the Bible. He's hearing the Scriptures. He's hearing it even carefully, possibly, and accurately brought before him. He's hearing all the things laid out in relation to this Word. And yet he does not see how this word applies to him and how it should have some impact in his own life. And he is then immediately forgetting what he has just seen in the mirror. He walks away from the church and says, so be it. That was a great sermon. Great things that we heard. Wonderful things to think about. And then he goes on and he forgets. And he does not reflect anymore concerning the things that were presented. Amazing thought to consider this. This individual comes face to face with his own sin. He comes face to face with his need for repentance of that sin. He hears the assurance that God will forgive him of his sins in relation to Jesus Christ. And he even notes the need for real amendment. But he walks away. Even in light of seeing all his flaws. And he forgets at once. How many of you have dealt with the issue in your life where you wake up in the morning, you look in that mirror, you see where you're at, or you get yourself ready for the day, and you say to yourself, oh yeah, don't forget to make sure that I take care of this before I go. And yet you walk away, even in light of reminding yourself of what you've seen in the mirror, and you forget. And as a result, then you look back in the mirror at the end of the day and you realize, oh no, look at this embarrassment that I caused myself. Ladies, maybe it's you picked the wrong shade of lipstick and we're going to change that before you went. Men, we always know you don't look in the mirror. But think about the great problem or the embarrassment that you caused yourself that day by forgetting. Well, this individual is causing themselves a far greater thing than just embarrassment. They're bringing upon themselves the judgment and conviction of God because they've come face to face with the things presented and yet forget what type of person they are. But note then the blessing presented to the individual who is not in this category or position. He who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, this individual is brought to studying the Word of God. He notes his motives and his attitudes, and this is evident by the response that he has to what he has learned. The person who pays no heed to what he learns from the Scriptures proves that his motivation is not godly. And he is demonstrating that he is not really a believer. But the individual who has humbled himself, demonstrating to stoop in order to get a better look at the Word of God, noting his motivation, noting his attitudes, noting his concern with divine truth, and obeying what he learns, notes his reflection. He notes that he is a miserable sinner who is disgusting in the sight of God, and yet he desires to have every sin and every blemish removed and replaced with the righteousness of Christ, so that he will be found, as we heard, righteous in Christ, righteous before God, and noting that it is only found in the work of the Savior. One other idea to bring out here in relation to this mirror and looking at it. We note that the mirror, the one who is the hypocrite, simply observes his face. We note that the one looking into the perfect law of liberty, the one who observes simply gives it a fleeting glance. He passes by and says, so be it. The one who looks is the one who stops. The one who desires to discover the deepest and most complete meaning that he can find. Not simply some exercise of curiosity, as the one who simply observes and forgets. But he desires to bend over and carefully examine this thing from the clearest possible vantage point. The word is used of Peter and Mary and John when they show up to the empty tomb in Luke 24 and John 20. And the declaration by the angels is a declaration of, why are you gazing? Why are you staring? Why are you looking into this empty tomb? You see, the doer looks. He takes time to examine that word and continues in it and does not forget the things that he's heard and observed and seen and been taught, but rightly by God's grace has that work applied to his life. The declaration here is that this one is blessed. It's the blessing found, as we noted, from Psalm 19. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 19 and verse 11. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired, looked upon, observed, studied, examined, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The reward for the present, the blessing upon God in this life, the blessed man of Psalm 1, who walks not after the way of the wicked, but is found in the seat of the godly, and delights in it day and night, as that firm tree planted by the river of water, But it's also that blessing that is given unto us when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." That blessing of being found in Jesus Christ, and knowing that we are found in Him to be whole and complete, having Him working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, so that we will be brought unto Him on the day of judgment. Truly we rejoice in this truth, knowing that God calls us to not simply be a hearer, but a doer. I remind you this morning that your position in Christ is not simply a position of being a spectator, but it's being one who is an active member on the team of Christ, loving Him and doing what He commands, that He might be honored and glorified in our life. May God give us the grace and strength to do this. Let us pray.